Well, here we are. We're at the sixth grade conference. How many of you, this is your first time to be at a conference? Wow. Well, okay, you can put your hands down. I know there's a lot of you. And for all of you that put your hand up, this is the beginning. This is the beginning of your life, of going to conferences, right? You begin in the sixth grade with one conference, then in junior high, high school, every year there'll be two conferences. And we like to tell you that the conferences, going away to the mountains, will become a memorial to you, will become a memorial that you can look back on and you can recall the times where you went to the mountains and the Lord met you in a very special way. So what we'd like to do tonight, before we get into the first outline, we would like to talk with you a little bit about conferences, about mountain retreats, because this is what you're going to do for the rest of your Christian life. It's go to the conferences. Well, the first thing is, let me ask you, who is the person that began mountain retreats? Who started it? Do you think it was Brother Tom Getz? Do you think way back in the beginning, Brother Tom began to have mountain retreats? No, I think someone said the answer. God, even in the Old Testament, when God wanted to reveal something, when God wanted to reveal something to His people, He would take them away to a mountain. This is the principle of a conference. It is to get away. It is to get away from the distractions that we have in our daily life, to give the Lord the opportunity to meet with us in a special way. For the Lord to reveal something to us in a very particular way. So sixth graders, this weekend, you're excited to be here, but the Lord Jesus, He's also excited about this time. Because He knows that by you being here, He has a way to come and meet with you, to come and visit with you, to come and reveal something to you in a special way. Oh, this is very exciting. What will happen this weekend? Well, let's talk about how we should be when we come to conferences, so that when we're here, we don't miss the Lord Jesus. So we don't miss what He wants to speak to us, what He wants to reveal to us. Well, the first thing is, retreats or conferences are about getting away from all the distractions. So the first principle is, when we come here, don't bring any distractions with you. Right? That's why we go away, to get away from the distractions. So what does that mean? That means don't bring your novels, don't bring the books that you're reading, don't bring your iPod, don't bring your games. Right? We don't need those things here this weekend. Those things, if we bring them here, they will become a big distraction. And they may cause us and those around us to miss the Lord. So we hope you all read the rules and the regulations, and before you came, you knew not to bring those things. Now, if you happen to have brought one, maybe tonight you should just give that thing to your serving one. Okay, so it doesn't be a distraction. Okay, so that's the first thing when we come to retreats. Okay, the second thing we want to touch is that when we come to the meetings, we should get here before the start time. What time did the meeting start tonight? 7:30. So we should try to get here by 7:25. And where should we sit when we come in? Sit near the front, right? Right, we don't start at the back and fill our way to the front. We always start at the front and fill our way up to the back. Okay, when we come to the meetings, we should use the bathroom before we come, right? Because we don't want to get up and go to the bathroom during the meeting and miss something that the Lord might be speaking. Okay? Third, when we're in the meetings, we come in and we begin the meeting by singing. Wasn't that enjoyable tonight? Oh, I enjoyed your singing. And we need everybody to sing. Okay? We need everybody to sing. So when we come in, begin to call a song. And everybody enter in to the singing. Okay, when we're in the meeting and the brothers are speaking or someone else is speaking, we need to listen. Very good. We need to listen. And what I'd like to encourage you to do is you have your booklet. Does everybody have their booklet? Right? Do you have a pen? Okay, make sure you get a pen. Ask your serving one. Serving one, can I have a pen? And when you're listening and something touches you, write it down. Write down what touched you. Because this to me is very important. You would write down what touches you during the meeting. Now, what do you do with these things that touch you? Well, when you write them down, it helps you to remember them so that later you could pray to the Lord about what touched you. And also later on, you will have an opportunity to speak about what you enjoyed, about what touched you. And it's so helpful to have things written down to remind you when it's your turn to speak. Okay? So when you're there and the brothers are speaking, you're listening and you're writing down the things that touched you so that later on you could pray about those things or you could speak about those things. Okay, did you get it? Okay, good. Now let's come to our outline for message one. It's on page 5. Page 5. And what I will do before we begin speaking from here is I'd like to have a little prayer for tonight's meeting. So you can say amen as I pray, okay? When you say amen, that means you're standing with me. And my prayer is also your prayer. Okay? Oh, Lord Jesus. Amen. Lord, we love you. Amen. Lord, thank you we can get away from all the distractions. Amen. Thank you we could be here and open our hearts to you. Amen. And thank you that you are seeking to meet with us. Amen. And Lord, we tell you, we open our hearts. Amen. We seek you. Amen. And we ask that you would appear to each one of us. That this weekend you would speak something to us. Amen. Lord, we are here for you. Amen. We tell you we are yours this weekend. Amen. Have your way in us. Amen. Amen. Okay. So this weekend, there will be 4 messages. And tonight's message is called, Where Are You Hiding From God? Where are you hiding from God? What? Hiding from God? How many think they're hiding from God? Well, let's go through the verses. Let's go through the outline. And it will be clear to us that we are people who are hiding from God. And this weekend, we do not want anyone to hide from God. Let's read the verse at the top, Genesis 3:9. Ready? And Jehovah God called to the man and said to him, Where are you? Okay, sisters, read it. Okay, brothers. Where are you? Good. Okay, Roman numeral 1. God made us for himself. Oh, this is a wonderful point. We begin the conference with this wonderful point. with this realization, God made us for Himself. This means that you are very important. You are very special to God. You are different. Sixth graders, you are different. You are different from the other creatures. You are different from the other things that God created. Because when God made man, He made man for Himself. Let's read together Isaiah 43:21. This people have I formed for myself. They will show forth my praise. This is the Lord's word. This people have I formed, have I made, have I shaped for myself. They will show forth my praise. We have to realize we were made for God. We were made to fulfill, to satisfy God's heart's desire. Sixth graders, you are what makes God happy. Okay, let's read together Genesis 1:26-27. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of heaven, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." And God created man. Very good. So point A on the outline is related to this verse. It says, we were made in the image of God according to His likeness, after God's kind. Sixth graders, when you read the account of creation, you have to realize when God came to making man, He made man differently than all the other creatures. When He brought forth the other creatures, He did it by speaking. He spoke and they were. But when it came to man, because man was His very heart's desire, He did not merely speak and man came forth, but God came down and He took some clay and He molded, He formed, He shaped that clay into man. And when He did that, He said He was making man in His image and His likeness. And the Bible shows us that when man was made according to God's kind. To be God's kind for God. Because God has a very special purpose. A very special intention for man. That intention is that God wants to come inside of man, to live within man, and to be expressed through man. This is what is on God's heart's desire, and this is what makes you and I special, different from all the other creatures. I brought with me my glove. When I hold up my glove, let me ask you, in what image and likeness is my glove? Yes. It's in the image and likeness of my hand. Let me ask you this. Why was a glove made in the image and likeness of a hand? To contain a hand. That's right. This glove is in the image of a hand so that it would be very easy for the hand to go inside. Look at that. Joseph, could you stand up? Could Joseph put this glove on his ear? If it's cold outside tonight, and you want your ear to be warm, would this glove keep your ear warm?
Not for long.
No. He wouldn't be able to put the air inside the glove. But tonight, if you go outside and your hand is cold, what would you do? Very simply, put the hand inside the glove. Why is it so easy for the hand to fit in the glove? Because the glove was made in the image and the likeness of the hand. This is why God said, I will make man. We will make man, right? In our image and our likeness. He did it so that God would be able to come inside of man.
Amen.
This is God's heart's desire. This is His good pleasure. This is what makes Him happy.
Amen.
That's right. This is what makes God happy. When He can come inside of man. I'm going to draw you a picture on the board. It's a picture of man. And we never can forget this picture. When God made man, He made man in three parts. The outer part is the body. The very inner part of man is the human spirit. And between our body and our spirit is our soul. And our soul has three parts: the mind, the emotion, and the will. God made us in this special way. No other creature has a human spirit. You are not the same as a monkey. Because a monkey does not have a human spirit. A monkey was not made in the image and likeness of God. A monkey cannot receive God, but you can! Because God made you that way. And you have a part in your being called your human spirit that enables you to contact, to receive, and to contain God who is spirit. Okay. Well, this is good news, right?
Yeah,
this is good news for God, and this is good news for us. To know that we were made for God. We were made in God's image and likeness so that we would be able to receive God. But we need to read on. So far, we've only covered the first two chapters of the Bible. Okay? Now we need to go to the third chapter, Genesis chapter 3. Let me finish reading Roman numeral 1 to you. A was, we were made in the image of God, according to God's likeness, after God's kind. B, we were made to take God in, to be our life, by eating Him as the tree of life. Let me finish the picture. In the garden where God had made man, He put man in the garden, and there were two trees in the garden. One tree was called the tree of life. And this is the tree that God wanted man to choose, because this showed that man was choosing to receive God as his life. And I'll do this one in red for stop. Right? There was another tree called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So let's read on. Let's find out what happened to man, what happened to us. We had a good beginning, didn't we? We had a very good beginning in Genesis 1 and 2, but let's read on to see what happened in Genesis chapter 3. This is Roman numeral 2. Let's read Roman numeral 2 together, and then we'll read A, B, and C. We'll have the brothers read A, the sisters read B, and all together on C. Roman numeral 2. We became fallen and hid ourselves from God. Brothers, A. Satan sisters. All together. When God came, this is what happened in Genesis chapter 3. Let me illustrate it this way for you before we read the verse. Let's say you are the inventor of this glove. Never before had there been such a glove on this earth. It is a masterpiece. Do you realize the Bible says we are His masterpiece? Let's say you're a tailor. You're made of lots of things, but this glove is your masterpiece. It's the very best thing you've ever made. And all you want to do is finish it and then put your hand inside of it. Well, let's say you finished your work. You made the glove. And you put the glove down and you went away for a little rest. But you're really looking forward to coming back and being able to put your hand in the glove. But while you're gone, your enemy comes along. And he comes and he takes the glove. He puts his hand inside it. And his hand is dirty. Disgusting. And now you come back, ready to put your hand in the glove, and what do you see? Your enemy has put his hand in your glove. And your glove has become dirty and defiled. How would you feel? That's okay, it's a rhetorical question. It's okay. It's good, you were listening. Very good. How would you feel? You would be sad. You'd be sad. You'd be disappointed. Because the very thing you were looking forward to do, your enemy came and corrupted it. Well, this is what happened in Genesis chapter 3. Adam and Eve were there in the garden. And God's enemy, yes, God has an enemy. His enemy is called Satan. Satan came to Adam and Eve in the garden when God wasn't there. And he came first to Eve. Let's read what happened when he came to Eve. Genesis chapter 3, verses 4 to 6. I'll read it to you. You can just follow in your book. And the serpent, who represents Satan, said to the woman, "You shall not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will become like God, knowing good and evil." And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make oneself wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband with her, and he ate. This is what Satan did to man before God could come into man. He came and he lied to man. And in his lying to Adam and Eve, he caused Adam and Eve to doubt God's word. We have to realize this. Satan wants us to doubt God's word. He wants us to doubt God's intention for us. He lied to them, telling them that they did not need God, and he told them they did not need to listen to what God said. And they listened to Satan, and they disobeyed God's word. And when they disobeyed God's word, they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And when they did that, something came into them called sin, and with sin came its companion, death. So now, man, instead of containing God, man now contains sin and death. How tragic. When you were born with these two things. Maybe you dream about how you wish you had rich parents so that your inheritance could be big. Well, I'd like to tell you the truth. What we inherit from our parents, our great parents, all the way back to Adam, we inherit sin and death. That's what we were all born with. That's what happened to man in Genesis chapter 3 when they listened to Satan. Sin and death came in. Okay. Now we need to find out what happened. What did God do? Let's read together Genesis 3, 8 to 10. And they heard the sound of Jehovah God walking about in the garden in the cool of the day. Where are you?
And he said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I
hid myself. So they disobeyed God. They took in sin and death. The serpent went away. And then God came. God came and they heard him coming. And they heard him coming. And they went and they hid. Silly, right? To hide from God. But that's right. When we realize that we have sin, our reaction is to hide from God. This is what sin causes us to do. It causes us to hide ourselves from God. Today, when you sin, you hide yourself because of your sin. Let me ask you, is it okay to talk back to your parents? Is it okay to talk back to them? No. But why is it when your mom or your dad asks you to go tidy your room, you turn around and you walk up, and as you walk up, you say, what are you doing? You're sinning. But you're hiding that sin. In a hiding way. What do they know? They don't know anything. This is what sin makes us do. It makes us hide. Adam and Eve, when they heard God coming, they hid themselves from God. This is the result of sin, making people hide from God. You know, there are different ways to hide. There's different ways to hide. One way is to run away. One time at school, there was a boy that some kids around me were bullying. They were not being nice to him. And a teacher came around the corner. And when the boys saw the teacher, what did they do? They ran! And I stood there. And I was the only one standing there. So who did the teacher catch? Me. But those boys, they were sinning. And that sinning caused them to run away when someone of authority came. We hide by running. Another way we hide is we lie. We try to cover it with a lie. One day I was playing mini golf, putt-putt, with my friends. And there's a rule, you can't take big swings. But we used to like to hit the ball as hard as we could to make it ricochet off the walls of the hole that we were playing. And one day I was there, and I swung as hard as I could. And I thought I was going to get the record for the number of ricochets. And my ball went sailing in the air across the putt-putt course to another hole where some people were playing. And it hit a lady in her ankle. And she screams real loud, "Ah!" And she falls down holding her ankle. Everybody in the place stopped and was staring at her. And then her husband, who was with her, who looked like he was 10 feet tall, was looking around. And he picked up my ball. And he's looking. And some people pointed to where me and my friends were. I was scared. I couldn't run, because he would know, right, if I ran. So I'm standing there. He walked up, and he asked me, "Is this your ball?" And I lied. I said, "No!" I'm standing there with a club and no ball. I said, "No!" I said, "It's from over there!" And so he walked over to this other hole, and they said, "No, it's not ours," and they pointed back to me. Well, eventually he came up to me, and I knew I couldn't hide anymore. I wanted to hide, but I knew I couldn't hide, so I had to confess. "Yes, that's my ball." And so he made me walk over and apologize to his wife. You know, when God was coming in that garden, when he was walking there in the evening looking for Adam and Eve, he knew. He knew they had sinned. He knew what happened. But he wanted them to confess that to him. That's why he was asking, "Adam, where are you? Where are you?" He wanted them to say, "We're hiding. We've sinned. We have disobeyed you." This weekend, I want you to know that the Lord is here. He is here walking among us. And this weekend, he's calling out to you, "Where are you? Where are you?" And he wants you to say, "Here I am, Lord. Here I am, Lord." He wants you to find him. And sixth graders, don't hide from him. He knows. He knows that you have sin and death. He knows all your sins. Don't hide, but seek him this weekend. Okay, let's go on to the next point. Roman numeral 3. But no one can hide from God. That's right. No one can hide from God. This is the truth. I'll read Luke 12, 2 and 3 to you. But there is nothing covered up which will not be revealed, and hidden which will not be known. Therefore, what you have said in the darkness will be heard in the light. And what you have spoken in the air in the private rooms will be proclaimed on the housetops. There are no secrets from God. There is nothing that we have done. There is nothing that we have said that God does not know. Okay, how about we have the boys read Revelation 6, 15 and 16. And the kings who sits upon the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. This is talking about at the end times when the Lord comes back to execute His judgment on the rebellious man who have not received His salvation. At that time, even the kings and the great men and the generals, the rich and the strong, everyone will try to hide themselves from God. But they will find that there is no hiding place. Okay, sisters, let's read Amos 9, 1b to 3. Any one of them who flees away, so let me ask you, after reading these two verses, is there any place on the earth that somebody can hide from God? No. No. Psalm 69:5. Oh God, You know my foolishness, and my sins of guilt are not hidden from You. This is a good prayer to pray to the Lord. Oh God. How about we pray this together? Ready? Oh God, You know my foolishness, and my sins of guilt are not hidden from You. Okay, sisters, you pray it. Okay, brothers. Oh God, You know my foolishness. Amen. A. Every covered thing will be revealed. Every covered thing. Everything you tried to cover. Every sin you've tried to hide. One day it will be fully revealed. Let me tell you a story. When I was very young, and I'm going to tell you about something that you might find hard to imagine. But when I was small, we used to have milk and bread delivered to our house. And our mailbox, a letterbox, was designed with two parts. At the top was a slot for the mail, and at the bottom there was a compartment in which the milkman, or if you wanted bread, the baker could put the fresh bread. And my parents, they didn't get the fresh bread delivered every day from the baker. But my neighbor, an elderly lady who lived directly across the street, she got fresh bread delivered to her house. Have you ever eaten fresh, warm bread? Oh, it is good. So, one day, my next-door neighbor and I, we were the same age, we decided that we were going to eat some fresh, warm, baked bread. And we snuck across the street. And we took the bread and we hid behind a tree that was in our neighbor's front yard. So we felt like nobody could see us. And we took the bread out of the brown paper bag and we had a very clever plan. We took the top of the crust off and we pulled out the white inside. And we ate it. And our plan was we would finish eating all the bread inside the crust of the loaf of bread. And we would put the end back on, put it back in the bag and put it back in the box, and nobody would know. It was all covered. Nobody would see and know what we did. What we didn't know is that one of our mothers had looked out the window and could see us under the tree and had called the other mother. And both our mothers were watching us. Do you think when you're lying, when you take something that's not yours, when you talk back to your mother or father, and you do it under your breath, or you do it out of sight or out of earshot, do you think the Lord doesn't see you? Sometimes we're like that little boy and that little girl under that tree, thinking nobody could see them, that the mothers were watching. Every time we do those things, the Lord Jesus sees. Nothing is covered. Nothing. Are you wondering what happened to me when I got home? Well, gee, it's very good. When I got home, my mother asked me, "Where were you?" Just like God asked, "Where were you? Adam, where are you?" The reason why she asked me that is she wanted to give me the chance to confess. To confess to her what I had done. But I didn't. Right? I tried to cover it by telling a lie. Well, I got punished, right, for that. We have to realize the Lord knows. He sees. There's nothing covered. But what He wants us to do is He wants us to confess to Him what we have done. He wants us to confess it, not to hide it. He wants us to say, "Yes, Lord, I did that." And we'll see tomorrow that He has prepared a way for us to be forgiven. To be forgiven for all the sins that we have done. But in order for Him to forgive us, we have to stop hiding. And we have to come to Him and confess to Him what we have done. Then He forgives us. So nothing is covered. And everything covered will one day be revealed. B, everything hidden. Everything will be known. Everything will be known. The verse we read in Luke says the things we said in our private rooms one day will be proclaimed. You know, when something gets proclaimed, everybody around hears it. Everybody around hears it. One day when I was about your age, I was not happy with my mother. And so I was going to run away to teach her a lesson. And I was writing her a note, and I wanted to make her feel bad. So I'm writing my note. But I didn't want her to find it yet until I had run away. Well, I had two younger sisters. And one of my younger sisters came in while I was preparing my note. I don't know why I told her, but I told her what I was going to do. And you know what she did? She walked out of the room and she goes, "Mom, Craig is going to run away." She proclaimed it. Well, one day, the things that we have done that we thought were hidden and that we haven't confessed to the Lord and had the Lord forgive and cleanse, one day these things will get proclaimed. Don't wait. Don't hide. Don't miss the chance to come to the Lord and be forgiven. Okay, let's go on. Roman numeral 4. Let's read this together. God is coming to seek each one of us this weekend, and He wants us to seek Him. Okay, let me read you Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Then Luke 15:4-5. Which man of you who has 100 sheep and has lost one of them does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he finds it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. Sixth graders, both these verses are talking about the Lord Jesus. In Luke 19, the Lord Jesus journeyed to a despised place, a city called Jericho. And he went there to find a man who was not good, a man named Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, right? And the Lord tells us that the reason why he journeyed all that way to Jericho was to find Zacchaeus. Because Zacchaeus was lost. This weekend, the Lord Jesus is coming here to find you. To find you. Then in Luke 15, it's talking about a shepherd. A shepherd who loves his sheep. He has 100 sheep, but he loves his sheep so much that even if one sheep would get lost, he would be willing to leave the 99 and to go and seek until he finds that one lost sheep. This weekend, I want to tell you, you do not need to be afraid of God. You do not need to be afraid of Him. He is coming this weekend. Just like God came to walk in the garden to find Adam and Eve, God is coming here. But He's not coming as a scary person for you to run away from and hide from. He's coming as a shepherd. He's coming as one who loves you and who is seeking you and desires to find you. This is the Lord this weekend. So God is coming to seek each one of us this weekend, and He wants us to seek Him. Okay, let's read A and B together. Don't hide. Don't hide. Let's read Psalm 27:8, but let's read it in a way of prayer. When you say, "Seek my face," to you my heart says, "Your face, O Jehovah, will I see." Okay, why don't you, just yourself in your seat right now, pray this prayer. Your face, O Jehovah, will I seek this weekend. Okay? How about each one of us just pray that. Your face, O Jehovah, will I seek this weekend. Okay? Tonight, before you go to sleep, would you pray this prayer? Okay? You do it yourself. Before you go to sleep, you pray. Your face, O Jehovah, will I seek this weekend. Excuse me. Okay, Roman numeral 5. We can all seek. Let's read it together. We can all seek and find the Lord by calling on Him while He is near. Isaiah 55:6. Seek Jehovah while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Oh, this is one of the precious things that God has given us. That we could be people who seek God. This weekend, You can be a person who seeks God. And the charge is that we should seek God while He may be found. Now is the time to seek God. How do we seek God? Call upon Him. Call upon Him while He is near. This weekend, I'd like to encourage you, call upon the Lord. Learn to say, "Oh Lord Jesus." Can we say that together? "Oh Lord Jesus." Okay, when we say it, we want to use that very special organ, that part of our being that lets us contact God, receive God, and contain God. What's that part? Our human spirit. And that is the very deepest part of our being. So when we call, we have to call from deep within. Let's do it one more time. Oh, Lord Jesus. Okay, sisters.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Brothers.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Okay, so this weekend, let's practice calling on the Lord. Our calling on the Lord is our seeking of Him. Amen. Okay, we can stop here. Do we have some announcements?
Praise the Lord. Amen. Okay, it's the first night, so we have quite a few announcements. I apologize. First thing I'd like to say is if you have not yet registered for the camp, we would like the serving ones to go immediately to the Sequoia Lodge to register. Localities that I show that have not registered, and this may not be current, are San Diego, I think you might have just come in, East LA, and Yorba Linda. Just the serving ones go register. Young people from those localities, wait until your serving ones come back, and they'll come pick you up here at the chapel. So if you haven't registered for the camp yet, please send a serving one over to register. Right now. Serving one, go right now. One serving one from localities that have not registered. Young people, stay in your chairs. Your serving ones will be back. Also, this does not have to be right now, but after the meeting, if you have not submitted your medical release forms to registration, please go after this meeting and do so. Localities that I show that have not submitted medical release forms are Irvine, Ontario, Riverside, Victorville, and Southgate. Okay? So those are all the registration points. This is a mountain trip. We're here to enjoy the Lord. We're here to love the Lord. We're here to love the Word, to love the hymns, to love the saints. And it's a sanctified atmosphere. So we like to be separated from the world. So serving ones should collect all cell phones and electronic items and lock them in vehicles. So no young person, no sixth grader should have a cell phone or any electronic device. There is no need for anything electronic on this mountain. We have the Lord. He's the Spirit, much better than any electronic device. So serving ones, please collect anything electronic and lock it in your vehicle. If there's an emergency, if you need to call your parents, your serving one can get you your cell phone back. There is a gift shop here at the camp, right over here. If you go to the gift shop, you must be accompanied by a serving one and no more than four young people per serving one. So you cannot mob the gift shop with only one serving one. All right? Please respect the people in the gift shop. Memory verses. In the back of this book, there are 6 pages of memory verses, 94, all of them numbered, 1 through 94. On pages 38 and on. 38 through 43. You have an opportunity to memorize every one of these verses this weekend. And don't think it's impossible. Sixth graders do it all the time, every year on this mountain trip. Rebecca, Zia, are you here? Where's Rebecca? Oh, there you are. Rebecca, she's a serving one, but she used to be a sixth grader. And when she was a sixth grader, she memorized every verse on the mountain trip. And there were 105 back then. So this is like easy. Okay, thank you, Rebecca. So please do your best to memorize. And to memorize a verse, you need to go to a serving one and say, I have memorized a verse. And they will say, oh, what verse would that be? And then you recite with the reference, without your book open, you recite the verse with the reference, word perfect, and then the serving one says, praise the Lord, very good, and puts their initials next to that verse. So I'm looking at verse number 4 here, Genesis 3, 4. This, by the way, is a lie. I picked a bad verse. Let's go to verse 8, Genesis 3, 9. And Jehovah God called to the man and said to him, where are you? Close your book. Genesis 3, 9. And Jehovah God called to the man and said, where are you? Okay, you got credit for that verse. You can be initial, okay? That's what you do. That's how you memorize a verse. We won't make you memorize all 94 in order without looking at the book. But if you could, that would be very good. Not a requirement. Not a requirement. Okay, so we have memory verses here. Very good to memorize the word. It is wonderful to memorize the word. Okay, if a verse is repeated in a second message that was used in an earlier message, that verse does not count twice. Only the 94 verses in the back count. If a partial verse is quoted in the message, you'll notice that a full verse is quoted in that list of 94. You have to recite the full verse to get credit for that verse. If there are multiple verses quoted together, like John 3, 3 through 6, those count as separate verses. 3, 4, 5, 6 would all be separate verses. That would be 4 memory verses. And the verses must be recited word perfect. If you get just one little word wrong or leave out a little tiny thing, just say it again and put in the little tiny thing or get the word right, and then you'll get credit for it. Okay, make sure your name is written on your conference folder. Everybody, if your name is not written on it, please write your name on it right now. Borrow a pen or pencil from a serving one from your neighbor and write your name on your book. Also, while you're in the area, check your hymnal or Bible. If you have a hymnal or Bible with you, make sure your name is written in that with your locality as well. So if you leave it somewhere, we can return it to you later. Praise the Lord. I have to say something while we're writing. Okay, I'm going to go on with the announcements. You can write your name while I talk. We'll practice that. The very last page with writing in your handout is a schedule of the conference. I'd like to go over the schedule real briefly with you. Starting with tonight, it says the snack starts at 9:15, which means I only have 12 more minutes for announcements. When you walk out those rear doors or the side doors, there's a snack table right here, and there's a snack table on that back patio back there. You can grab one snack and one drink. And please eat it and drink it on the way to your cabin. Don't eat and drink it during cabin time. That's kind of a distraction. And please, please do not throw any trash on the ground. There's a wrapper on your snack. Put the wrapper in your pocket. Put it in a trash can. Eventually, put it in a trash can. Please do not. The juice boxes have little straws with wrappers. Please don't take your straw wrapper off and throw it on the ground. We like to leave the camp cleaner than we found it. So snack time will be at 9:15. You get to your cabin at 9:30. We will enjoy the Lord for a few minutes in a short cabin time. Then you'll brush your teeth. 10 o'clock is lights out. And please have your lights out and be quiet in your cabins at 10 o'clock. We will be coming by to check. We'd like you to please be quiet in your cabin. Tomorrow morning, while the young people sleep, the serving ones will get up at 6, a little before 6:30, and will be here in this chapel at 6:30 for a prayer time. All right? Very important. All serving ones should be here at 6:30. Young people, stay in bed, stay asleep. And if you're not asleep, stay in bed and stay quiet. At 7:20, one serving woman will return to the cabin and wake the young people. By 8 o'clock, there'll be breakfast right down here in the dining hall. Then we'll have a morning meeting at 9, a little break after that, then lunch. Recreation time from 1 to 3, rest time from 3 to 4, and then there'll be an afternoon meeting, a singing time, wonderful time, at 4 o'clock. 6 o'clock is dinner. By the way, they ring a dinner bell or a meal bell 15 minutes before each meal. So at 7:45 in the morning, 11:45 in the morning, and 5:45 at night, you will hear a bell ring. That's for the meal. Don't worry about that. That means come in, line up, and then the doors will open to the meeting hall, the dining hall, at 8, 12, and 6. The evening meeting is 7:15 p.m. right after dinner. Then again, tomorrow night's schedule will be the same as tonight's. On the Lord's Day, the same schedule. At noon, we'll have lunch, then we'll clean up, and then you'll go home. There is also, right before the conference schedule, the page before is a map of the camp if you need to find out where you are, where you're going. And the page before that is the rules and regulations. You all should have signed something agreeing to these. Please abide by all these rules and regulations. There's not a lot of hot water, so when you take a shower, please take a short shower. Keep the campground very clean. Please don't throw any trash on the ground. And if you see trash on the ground, pick it up and throw it out. We are next to a wilderness, so we'd like you all to please stay within the campgrounds at all times. Tomorrow afternoon during the free time, you can go on a hike with a serving one, but that's the only time we would allow you to leave the campground, please. If there's an emergency, please contact me. I'm the tallest guy here. I shouldn't be hard to find. So please contact me, and I'll contact the camp staff. If you get locked out of your room, if your light bulb's burned out, if your shower doesn't have hot water, anything like that. There's a radio on a table over here, and I'll have a radio with me, and you can ring me up by that radio if you can't find me. We also have an offering box here. The brothers will be speaking about this later if you want to give an offering. We will keep this up at the front of the meeting hall here before and after meetings so you can give an offering to the Lord. The brothers will speak more about this during the conference, so I want you to know the offering box is here. My name is Rich. A brother asked me my name. My name is Rich. So if you want to ask a question, ask Rich. All right, praise the Lord. Grab a snack, go to cabin time, enjoy the Lord.